You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. We continue. It's 9 o'clock here on a Friday, and with apologies for being late, our previous segment ran was only supposed to go 30 minutes, and it ran 90 minutes. So I'm not usually that late, but I am today. So Kim, I'm sorry. Mea culpa.
No, no problem, Mac.
Well, yeah,
not at all.
You your dad was an aviator in World War II, so.
Yeah.
So you're not foreign. You're not foreign, and not uninterested in terms of the discussion about aviation issues in the military.
Absolutely, it's paramount that we have aviation available that flies. That's for sure.
Yeah, we're just struggling with that. Kim's dad flew the C-47 in the Normandy invasion and flew in Market Garden. So in the major operations of World War II, when you see those C-47s taxiing. Kim's dad flew those. Do you have a model of the C-47 anywhere?
Yeah, I have it on a ashtray stand. it's Mondo Bizarro. My brother's got it now, but had like an alabaster base, and it was a one stand, and then it was a circular ashtray, and then a post coming up with the C-47 on top of it with a light inside that the light comes through the windows of the plane, and it kind of pivots. So, you know, I'd put it, well, let's see, I feel like flying left today. And
nice.
It's very cool.
Nice. We're supposed to talk about Hungarian goulash, but I've got Kim was on yesterday, and we were talking yesterday about how to become a chef, and I got one email question after the program that I'm going to ask you. So here it is, and then we'll talk Hungarian goulash.
No problem. Shoot,
Mac. My question. Relative to becoming a chef involves lifestyle. I have friends that are in the bar business, and it's not a very good quality of life. So could you ask him the next time you have him on what he would recommend for somebody who loves to cook, who would like to make it a profession, but yet does not want to be gone every night from his family? Is there places that I could go and do what I do and cook breakfast and lunch and have somewhat of a normal life? Or if I'm going to be a cook, should I resign myself, to losing, part of a family life anyway, in terms of my evenings home with my family? So you've done this your whole life, man. It's your gig.
Yeah, I've been doing it since high school. And to be honest, my favorite restaurant was a joint I had in Port Townsend, Washington, that I did breakfast and lunches only. I was off at about 3 o'clock. I closed. It was like ran from 7 to 2. I did prep for the next day, like steam my potatoes for my American fries for the next day. And I do some prep work to get ready, and then I usually would go sailing or do whatever I was going to do that day, and had a normal life. It was a great life. I worked, we just did Sunday brunch. We were done at 2 o'clock Sunday. So, and then I had Monday off. So I had Sunday night and Monday off. And if you own your own business, you dictate your hours. But I only work 6 days a week. And that was plenty fun. And that was my favorite restaurant. I love getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning, go downstairs, fire up, and the stoves, and get cooking. And then they filmed Officer and the Gentleman in Port Townsend, Washington.
Nice.
This was back 1980, yeah. And I had the whole crew for 3.5 months. And there wasn't a pasta place in town. So I would open up, I would close at 2, open again at 5 to 10, or whenever they left. That's how I got 5 to closing. movie stars are a strange breed of cats.
Right.
But I did little individual pizzas and pastas and salads and at night. And I only had a beer and wine license. The thing about chefing that you have to be careful of are is the booze and the drugs. Okay? Everybody that gets into the kitchen at night is exposed to this, and you have to be very aware of what goes on around you. Show up, do your work, usually have a shift drink at the end of the night, and then go home. But you have your mornings free usually. But me, my favorite breakfast or favorite meal to cook is breakfast. So I loved the Blue Parrot. That's what I called it. Name the Blue Parrot came from Sydney Green Street's restaurant in Casablanca. It was Rick's American Cafe.
Right.
And across the street was that Sydney Green Street, the big fat guy with the fez on.
Right, right.
And his joint was called the Blue Parrot. And that's where I got that name. My friend Charles Joseph gave me. I said, hey, why don't you call it the Blue Parrot? You're in the water, on the water. Be a great name. And it stuck. So right. I called it the Blue Parrot Breakfast Club.
All right. So, well, hold on. Bottom line before we go down the, history lane is, so your advice, if you want a profession as a cook, is you got to go find a place that serves breakfast and lunch, or be a breakfast. There's places though that are open that just you can be the breakfast guy. Is that a full time job?
Oh, sure, in the heck is.
Okay.
Breakfast is my favorite meal to cook, and whenever I hire a chef or somebody who considers himself a chef, I ask them to make me an omelet. That's their job interview. And if they can make an omelet without burning it and screwing it up and making it rubbery, they've got a shot at being a cook. So no matter whether you're a dinner cook or a breakfast cook, the first thing that your interviewer will probably ask you is, make me a omelet, please. And then you get the ingredients and make them an omelet or her an omelet. And they judge you by that. So, yes, breakfast is a great meal to cook. You can get so innovative now.
Truck stops.
Breakfast is served all day.
Right.
And you can be the morning chef, and then you prep for lunch.
Okay. So you don't have to. So again, there's opportunities out there. If let's just say a guy's getting out of the military, he's been a cook he's been away from his family a lot. He doesn't want to live the lifestyle where he's gone every night cooking dinner because he's got kids. There's a place for them.
And also one other thing that we talked about yesterday, food trucks. Now, you can start yourself with a food truck if you have the experience and you know what you want to cook. And when you sell out, you're done. And it's usually a lunchtime gig
Yeah, there are food trucks at night that hang out around bars and stuff. But the most popular food trucks serve kind of a late breakfast or lunch until they're out of food, which could be 2 or 3 in the afternoon. And then they go back home. So there are plenty of options besides working all night long.
Okay. All right. My my guest this morning, as he was yesterday, is the official Allmern Radio chef, and that is Kim Holmes. And we're Hungarian goulash. Is it actually a Hungarian dish, or much like what we call pizza? Is it not? It's loosely affiliated with it.
Goulash is an Eastern European dish, and in Hungary is probably where it started. Okay.
Okay.
And paprika is the main spice here. Now we're gonna. I'm gonna kind of go through. There's a few tips I want to give. You start out with a Dutch oven.
Okay.
A heavy, you know, enamel coated cast iron, so it's heavy, and it's got a thick bottom. And you put a half a cup of oil, could be olive, canola, salad oil, vegetable oil, half a cup in the bottom of the Dutch oven. You heat it up, then you add 2 pounds of cubed stew meat or chuck, top roast, bottom roast, anything you want, but you cube it into 1-inch cubes. And then you stir those, and then add 1 small diced medium onion to this mixture, and you stir it until it's browned. Then you add a tablespoon, a heaping tablespoon of Hungarian paprika. Now, that can be either sweet paprika, hot paprika, or mild paprika, or a mixture of however you want to play it. But it's got to be a good portion, a good tablespoon, heaping. And then you stir that in with the meat and the onions. Then you add 1/2 cup of bread flour, loose, just tossed it over.
Okay, hold on, hold on. I want to, before you go into to your recipe, could you, explain to me generally, because I Googled Hungarian goulash.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing all these separate dishes. So let me tell you what they have in common. They all have some kind of pasta involved in it.
Yeah.
Okay, is that right?
Yeah, that's what we're going to put this mixture over.
Okay, and then it seems like the majority of them have some kind of a tomato-based sauce. Or is,
yeah, I'm going to get through that.
No, I'm not talking. I'm just talking about generally. And yes, you see a whole bunch of variations of the recipe. But generally, is it a pizza-based sauce? A pizza-based? a tomato-based sauce over some kind of pasta?
Yeah, this is all blend together, and it has beef stock in it, tomato puree, or a tomato sauce. Not a pizza sauce.
I misspoke. I think I'm hungry.
Yeah. But you know, goulash is something that, you know, you can make many different ways.
Okay.
I'm giving you the general commonly known, recipe.
Okay. But I was just curious because looking at all the pictures, you know, the things they all have in common are some kind of macaroni or pasta in there, and then some kind of tomato base, and then you know Jimmy Dean has his recipe that has Jimmy Dean sausage in it, and then other people have their little twist on Hungarian goulash. But the bottom line is It was over macaroni or over pasta, a tomato based, and then whatever I guess you put into it. So interesting.
That's right.
One of the things I like to talk about with you, Kim, is you know, like the historical base. You and I were talking about chicken feet a couple weeks ago. You know, like I was like, who the hell would eat that? Well, these things had historical origins in what was available in the country that it came out
right.
of. And so I find the history of recipes kind of interesting. So anyway, start.
And the thing about goulash, you don't want a filet mignon. You want meat with flavor. But it's usually real tough if you just cook it and try and eat it. So you have to cook it for a period of time. And that's what this dish is. This is another one dish meal. And you can have bread or whatever you want with it. Crackers. I prefer bread, but you take an inexpensive piece of meat and cube it up. And then when you get to the seasoning, you add the paprika and then stir it in. And then you add the bread flour and you cook, blending it well, stirring it for 5 minutes. And then you have, and you can do this first and set it aside until it's time, and now's its time. But you take a cheesecloth. You know what cheesecloth is?
Kinda.
It's very porous, and you fill it with spices and herbs, and you wrap it up. You tie it in a bundle,
yeah.
And you drop it in the whatever you're cooking.
You can find it in the canning section or in the gadget section?
My boss is saying where to find it in the grocery store.
All right, so you look and you do that because you want the taste, but you don't want all the spices in there.
That's right. And you want to pull these out, but you put in a teaspoon of caraway seeds. Then you put in one bay leaf and a half a dozen, six parsley stems. You know, you're going to probably save the leaf of the parsley for garnish after the dish is done. And you just add the stems to this cheesecloth bag, and you drop it in with the flour, the meat, the paprika, and the onions. And then you add 1 quart of beef stock. Okay? And then 1 can, you know, like a 6-8 ounce can of tomato puree, or you can use tomato sauce of any kind. It's your call. And then you bring this, you stir all this together, you bring it to a boil, and then you put the lid on the Dutch oven. After bringing it to a boil and stirring it, and then you place it in a preheated 350-degree oven for 1 to 1.5 hours. Okay?
Wow.
Until the meat is fork tender.
Okay.
And it gives you an opportunity to taste it.
All right.
And then adjust the seasoning with the salt and the pepper however you would like. But let it cook first, and then you serve it over an egg noodle. Now, that's the thin, flat, you know, about a half an inch or quarter inch wide noodles. You get them in different widths, and you boil them up.
Okay, can I ask you a dumb guy question. What's the difference? Is there a difference between an egg noodle and a normal noodle?
Well, egg noodles made with egg, some noodles like pastas, are made with just flour and water and no egg. You can get them in the bag. Usually come in 1-pound bags. And You cook those up, and, you know, you don't want to overcook these noodles, because then when the meat hits it, it gets mushy, and you want the noodle to have some firmness to it. You don't want it chewy, the noodle, like you do an al dente pasta. You want it, but you want it firm and solid. Follow me?
Yep.
So after you get done cooking, you rinse it under cold water. And then just put it, leave it in the strainer. And then, when it comes time for service, you turn the hot water on and you put the pasta under the hot water and it loosens everything up so it's fluffy again. And then you shake it, the water off. And then you put it in the bottom of a bowl, and then you pour, you get a ladle, and you put a big load, as much as you want, over the noodles. And then you serve it with sour cream on the side. So people can put a dollop of sour cream, and that's, for me, is the front row.
The sour cream?
Oh, the sour cream, baby. Yeah. It makes it pretty nice flavor. But
Hungarian goulash.
The other way to treat your noodles is when it comes out of the water, you run the cold water on it to stop the cooking process. Then you can douse it with a little olive oil and toss it, and then the noodles won't stick. And then you can take those noodles and put them in the bowl. They'll be easier to handle if you just put a tablespoon of olive oil and toss them in the strainer and leave the strainer sitting over the empty pasta pan. Okay?
Yep.
And that's it, baby. It's a great meal. And you can add sausage to that if you want. But you start with raw sausage. You can add andouille sausage. That's a Cajun spicy sausage to your meat. It's up to you. But I just gave you a basic recipe to start with, and you cooks at home, you can adapt and add anything you want to. You can, like I said, sweet paprika, hot paprika, mild paprika, you know.
Paprika,
yeah.
What
that's it.
All right, another email question for you, Mac.
Yeah.
I love listening to your cooking segments. By the way, you don't seem to know too much about cooking, so you should stay out of Kim's way. I know a lot about cooking. Okay, so stick it up your ass. The question for Kim is there,
you know, it must kill you when your guests are right.
No. Look, We all have uninformed guests. No need to embolden them. Here's the email. Is there a cookbook that you would tell me that I should have in my kitchen?
Well,
a basic.
That's a great question.
And it goes on. What? A basic cookbook that has all the basic recipes. I grew up with my mother's Betty Crocker cookbook sitting on a book rack in our kitchen. She used to be in that thing all the time. She had recipes stuck in the pages. And I have fond memories of seeing that. I'm just curious if there's a cookbook that you would tell me, you know, this one is really solid. And then you kind of, you know, after you do the basic recipes, you can certainly season the taste and do what else you would do. So, Kim?
probably the ultimate cookbook for home cooks, besides the Betty Crocker, is The Joy of Cooking by the Grand Dame of American Cuisine,
Julia
Child.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, who's that? Like we know who the hell that is.
Yeah, Julia Child. She's an institution in this country. Her husband was stationed in Paris after the war, and he was a spy. And she went to the Cordon Bleu school in Paris, not speaking very fluent French, and became the great chef she'd become. And she was the first woman to go to the Cordon Bleu school, and she was a trailblazer in food. I think that's probably the best tip. And Beth just showed me her old school with the Pillsbury family cookbook. And that has all the basics too. But Julia Child.
Wait. It's called the Pillsbury what?
Pillsbury.
Family cookbook.
Pillsbury Kitchens Family Cookbook. And that's a starter kit.
All right. No, you know, and some of the, again, looking for a, no, hold on, I got a text message. The Joy of Cooking is a solid go-to. So we have Marines up in Montana bombing in.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. In fact, I should get him to call in. He messed a little bit with his stuffing over Thanksgiving. And I think he used a little venison, and he loved it. So all right, we got to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk. I got a couple more emails and about kitchens and stuff like that. So the All Marine Radio Chef is in the house. So if you have a question, don't be afraid. More of All Marine Radio coming up on a Friday. Next, don't touch that dial.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good,
are you really listening?
I still have nightmares.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Listen up, employers. Veterans can be a great asset to your company or organization. Veterans have gained skills in leadership, teamwork, and performance under pressure. Veterans have received the very best training in their fields and are never afraid to tackle a tough situation to accomplish the mission. If you are looking to hire a veteran, the Department of Labor can help you make it happen. You hire a veteran today, you won't be sorry.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
On Veterans Day, the nation honors the men and women who risk their lives to protect our freedom. Social Security does its absolute best to honor veterans and active duty members of the military every day by giving them the respect they deserve. For those who return home with injuries, Social Security is a resource they can turn to. If you know any wounded veterans, please let them know about Social Security's Wounded Warriors website. The Wounded Warriors website answers many commonly asked questions and shares other useful information about disability benefits, including how veterans can receive expedited processing of disability claims. Learn more by visiting www.socialsecurity.gov/woundedwarriors.
For America's wounded warriors, sometimes coming home can be a battle in itself. Every one of them needs our support to meet the challenges they face every day. The USO provides Americans a way to offer that support to our wounded warriors and their families. Join us. Visit USO.org to learn how you can make a difference in their lives by donating today. The USO.
My name is Juan Perez Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines. You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Here on Friday, Mike McNamara with you. Friday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. We continue. Elvis joins us here. He's not in studio, just so everybody knows.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I wasn't. I haven't been drinking that much this morning. So, we continue with the my hetero life partner. And official chef of All Marine Radio, Kim Holmes. Kim.
Yes, sir.
There you go. Couple kitchen questions here. Mac, looking for a Christmas gift for somebody who loves to cook. I'm knife stupid. I'm utensil stupid. I go into that store here in Southern California that has everything for a kitchen. And then he says bed and something. I think it's Bed Bath and Beyond. There's a lot of stuff for kitchens in there. Is there something I could get for my wife who loves to cook that's either new, that she would really like, or is there a kind of knife? We don't really have nice knives. We have, you know, something that she bought. I believe she got it at Target. Nothing against Target, mind you. But
yeah.
I would like to buy her something that she would appreciate as a great cook for our family. So, Kim, a Christmas present.
Well,
what do you think?
God, where do I start? how much does he want to spend?
All right, let's do this. Let's do high-end and medium-end. Because if you want to do something okay. low-end, you can find something. But high-end?
High-end, I would do.
Okay, so when we talk high-end, what are we talking about? How much money?
Well, we're talking anywhere from $500 down to, I think, $300. They have different sizes of Cuisinarts. That's the, it chops and slices, dices, mixes dough. You know, it's got a blade in it, for chopping. I use the commercial version of this when I made my pesto for the year. And, I mean, it's a great device. It's called Cuisinart by Cuisinart. And then there is the KitchenAid mixer. It's, they have the varying degrees of price range. Top of the line is, I don't know, $400. And then there's that blender I have, the Vitamix. Now the Vitamix is a monster. It can puree, it can juice. It's a $500 gift, but Bed Bath & Beyond always has 20% off. You get a coupon,
yeah,
and they're 20% off.
I get them all the time.
One item. So if you buy the Vitamix, it's $400 instead of $500. And that's what we did with ours. And we've had one for what, 6 years. And if you want to make a soup, you say you want to make a squash soup. You put it in there and all the fixings and the milk, and then you turn it on and it explains in its cookbook, and you leave it run for 5-6 minutes and it heats the soup. So you can make soup in a blender, and it's hot soup. It's kick ass. And I make, smoothies with it. They're good for making, margaritas. it's exceptionally, versatile piece of equipment. And, those are the three high ends. And all of those, except for, Vitamix, there's a mixer out called the Ninja, like Ninja Warrior kind of thing. But it's not, I wouldn't recommend it, but it's affordable. And for certain things, I think it's pretty good. But the Vitamix is the granddaddy, and that's the one. Don't waste your money on anything else. If that's what you want to do, you want to knock her socks off, you buy her one of those three items if she already doesn't have them.
Okay.
Then you can get – we just bought from Bed Bath & Beyond a popcorn maker. And, God, it wasn't very – but was it $50?
$35.
And, you put a little oil. It has measuring cups for the oil, the popcorn, and it has a spinner like the one in the movie house, and, a plastic dome and a little spot you can sit a
butter on it and heats it up and drips butter into the popcorn and mixes it. It's a pretty cool, cool popcorn maker, and that's $30-$40. Then you can, get a coffee maker, different types of coffee makers, espresso machines that they sell, if they're not a commercial unit, which are thousands of dollars.
Okay. All right. Slow down. Stop. It's too much now. What about, let me ask you about knives. Is there, when you look to buy knives,
yeah,
you know, you see them in this block. I'm knife stupid. Are there certain knives that always should be in there? So when I look at a block, it has like it might have a couple of rows of steak knives. Then it might have a couple of short slicing knives in it, and then it has paring knives. And then it has the cleaver that you see in cartoons that they throw, and then a couple other knives. Is there certain knives that ought to be in that if you're going to buy that as a gift, or do you just say, hey, whatever is in there is good?
That you've gotten.
Okay, here is three knives that I've gotten best. That she loves.
Okay.
I've gotten her a
tomato.
They're slicing knives. Okay? For bread, tomatoes, onions.
Tomatoes are the most difficult, I find. Because a lot of knives don't cut through the skin and
I have serrated edge knives. I have one high end knife called a Shun. S-H-U-N.
Right.
And it's a Japanese knife. And it's wicked, wicked sharp.
Hold on.
It's got a curved, serrated blade.
Did you just say wicked?
Wicked. Wicked sharp knife. And,
my wicked favorite.
And it's her best favorite. And, man, it for slicing tomatoes, it's like butter.
Well, that's what I do. I get a knife, and it's not serrated, and then I have to put more pressure on it, which squishes a tomato to get through the skin.
You never cut a tomato unless you have a professional knife that is razor sharp. Then it does not matter. But for most home kitchens, you look into their knife drawer. All the knives are thrown in the drawer.
Yeah.
So they get nicked up and dinged up.
And they don't have
serrated. And they don't have serrated edges. So they get dull after about two or three uses. I sharpen the knives all the time. Now, there are several ways you can. They have these little handheld sharpeners that have Asian knives and standard knives. Little slots to swipe your knife through if it's a regular knife. Serrated edges, you don't have to sharpen them. They last for a long, long time. Now, there's one made by Wusthof that is serrated.
Spell it.
W-H-O-U-S-T-O-F.
Wow.
Now, that's a crapshoot, but it'll come up.
What?
Yeah, Wusthof. And that's her canning knife.
For tomatoes.
She's, my wife is taking over this counter.
No.
Now, and then I have also a 12-inch serrated slicer. For larger items, like loaves of bread that you buy whole and you want to cut through it, that's what I, Beth uses that a lot too. And what you have to do with knives, if you're going to invest money, now that first one, that Shun I talked to you about, is about $150-$140 knife.
Okay.
Okay, it's Japanese steel. It's very zen-like. and very sharp. And I have a whole series of these knives that are exceptional. But I have knife guards. Unless you have a butcher block to put your knives in, if you're going to keep them in the drawer, you can go to Bed Bath & Beyond or a food supply place and get knife covers. And the blade slips, and they have different lengths of knife covers for paring knives to 12-inch carving knives. So that's, it's Wusthof. It's W-U-S-T-H-O-F. I was pretty damn close.
You weren't even close. W-U-S-T-H-O-F.
That's it. Wusthof.
Wusthof knives?
Yes. Now, they have a whole series of knives.
Oh, there's only one F, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay, Wusthof. All right. Got it.
Okay. And Beth's bread knife, she just measured it. It's an 8-inch. And she keeps it in the drawer because there's no room in the knife block, the butcher block that I have, because I have all my Japanese and Wusthof knives in there, and real sharp ones. So the blades don't get dinged up.
Okay.
But Shun has a line.
Hold on. I have an email question about knives. Mac, will you please stop Kim? Question before he goes on. Does he buy his knives individually, or does he buy them in sets?
I buy them individually.
Okay.
I find that if you go into a store like Bed Bath & Beyond and you see a little knife block with 6 steak knives and a paring knife and maybe a cleaver, a French knife, serrated edge knife, they're fine. Wusthof makes a nice set that's acceptable very much. But when you get to Chicago Cutlery and, there's other ones that just aren't worth a damn. Beth said, don't get myself sued. Well, I'm just talking my experience. I like a knife that holds an edge. And this seems to be the best way to do it. And there's a handle with a long kind of round tube that is a steel, called a steel. And then you sharpen your knives by going back and forth, and they can show you how to use it at the store.
Okay.
But usually all these butcher blocks will have a steel in them if you buy a set. I'm not saying don't buy a set. I'm just saying pay attention to the knife set you're buying.
Okay. But in terms of what you do, you buy your knives individually.
Yes, I do.
Got it. Okay.
Because I love knives. Yeah. This is the guy that still has a switchblade.
You could have been a Marine, man. We love knives.
Oh God.
We have knives that we don't need, but we love them, so we have them. And the PX, the military section, the PX is full of knives because we like them and buy them. And then we go out and we cut stuff with them and stuff. But anyway, I don't know anybody who's ever stabbed anybody with one, but other than themselves, which happens on occasion.
Oh,
but we love knives. We love knives too.
That I'm not allowed to touch because I.
I have a paring knife.
What?
That is a 3-inch paring knife. It's 3 or 4 inches, and. I do not let Beth use these because they're like, $80, $90, $100 paring knives. And mine's a Shun, and I bought 2 of them, and she broke the tips off of both of them.
Huh?
So, yeah. So I have a real, real high-end paring knife that she is not allowed to handle.
What did she eat? What did she do when she broke the second one?
She drops it. She drops them in the sink. And she, after she dropped the second one, she was just dumbfounded. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I'm not going to tell you what I said, but I just couldn't believe it. I mean, I've been in kitchens and handled knives pretty much my whole life. And I don't remember ever breaking a tip off a knife.
She did it twice. I've never heard of it.
Knives.
Well, the only time I've ever heard of it, seen of it, was like you, it's in a tree and you go to yank it out. And instead of yanking it straight, somebody puts a little bit of an angle on as they're yanking it out and the tip comes off, you know. But that's only on some kind of metal that was fatigued.
Yes.
So, wow.
But man, a good set of knives and keeping them sharp, because the sharper the knife, the less chance you have to cutting yourself. And there's a technique to slice and dice something. Geez, I don't know. Yeah, that's a visual thing. But somebody in the knife store can show them how to hold your fingers, keep your thumbs away from the cutting edge. If you tuck them under your hand or behind your fingers that are holding whatever you're holding while you're dicing and slicing, so or chopping or mincing. I just love having great knives around, because you know it's the key to being good in the kitchen. Have knives for, you know, and you know, you don't use a paring knife to slice a prime rib. You know that, you know, that's
right.
Dramatic. But
no,
that's
I'm
what
you.
I'm saying is the right knife for the right job. And that's a big deal in my kitchen.
Got it. All right, we're talking about Christmas gifts. I've got another email. Mac,
yep.
Is there any type of linen? I know we're constantly looking for towels and rags and stuff in the kitchen, but is there any kind of linen that I would buy that would be nicer that my wife would appreciate? You got guys asking you like kind of smart guy questions to buy nice stuff that she would like. So, linen, is that just basic stuff, whatever works?
Well, linen napkins, I was raised with linen napkins. It's just the way when we sat down for dinner, we didn't have paper napkins. We had linen napkins. And then, Beth had to iron them. So she's after 27 years, she's beaten me down and I use paper napkins.
No, yeah.
But be quiet, Beth. But she's got a poly blend linen napkin, so she doesn't have to iron it. But for fancy linen dinner napkins, they can be expensive or not so expensive. But Bed Bath & Beyond has a beautiful selection. So, you know, that is a very lovely present. And you can get 6 or 8, however many your table sits. Now, a little side note is Beth told her mother that I'm a linen napkin guy. So we'd sit down at dinner at her house, and everybody else got paper napkins, and I got a linen napkin. Oh,
oh
God.
My
the
God.
First time I was embarrassed, then I got used to it.
You know
she
what? I have a pair of linen. I have 4 linen napkins that
yeah.
I really like. And they're just, I don't know where I bought them, but I bought them, but I use them, I have to tell you, I use them a lot. And I don't always iron them, but I do use them and I enjoy using them and they're a little bit nicer. So I sympathize with Beth using, what material did you say she used?
Well, she's, polyester style.
Oh, see, napkin. I'm not
a fan of linen and poly.
I'm not that ghetto.
Oh.
Well.
We used them at the restaurant.
Jesus, Ben. I had a cotton poly blend because they stopped selling me or renting me the linen napkins that I had for 30 years. And they were too hard for the linen service to keep clean. But, you know, it doesn't matter. A linen napkin, doesn't matter how much it costs, and you don't have to iron them. When you get them out of the washer, you just smooth them out, fold them, put them in the drawer, be done with it. They don't have to be ironed, okay?
Yeah, I'm with you. My grandma would. My grandma would never throw it on the table unless it was ironed, but
well, neither would mine. That's showbiz.
Right, exactly.
That's how they rolled back then, you know. But anyway, yeah, there are utensils you can get substantial, you know, forks, you know, like oven roasting forks, big long ones, to hold your meat while you carve your.
Well, and I will tell you this, if you want to get a nice gift, and I joke about it, but you could spend $40 on a digital meat thermometer, and yes, you can get one. It's a Bluetooth. You download the app on your phone, and whether you're cooking turkey or steak in the bag or whatever, you never, ever need to screw up meat again because that digital meat thermometer is money. Absolute money.
And for $40, come on. That's a great gift.
On your phone. So you're out watching the game, looking at your phone, tracking the meat, the temperature inside the meat. It's awesome, man. It is awesome. And no, and it's it cleans up easy. It's very cool. Very cool. So anyway,
very much, all right, so.
Kim, thank you for what you did yesterday, and then thank you for coming back and talking about goulash and Christmas gifts.
Always a pleasure.
All right, so I'm going to give you an assignment though. Next week we'll be right up against Christmas. So
yeah.
So what I'd like you to do is, could you put a short list together of really cool last minute Christmas gifts that most people could find around?
I can do that, Mac.
Say three or four really cool things that you can get for somebody who cooks that most people could find in their city, and that way you can bail people's asses out of the jam they've got themselves in by not getting something nice earlier.
Three or four kitchen gifts, Christmas gifts for the kitchen, right?
Exactly.
You know what,
what,
Professor?
Yes.
Done. I'll do probably more than three or four, but
all right. You put your list together, and we'll go through the list next week.
You got it, baby.
All right, man. You have a great weekend. Thank you.
And give me a time next week.
I will.
Call me.
I will. I'll call you. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
More of All Marine Radio, The Gunner, next.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do. And I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares. I'm good, but I don't need any help. I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
As we recognize the service of America's men and women in uniform, let's also honor the families who sacrifice so much every day. Military families endure frequent deployments and separations. They carry on while their loved ones are sent into harm's way and wait patiently for their safe return. If you really want to honor a veteran, look for ways to support their families and thank them for their sacrifices. Go to legion.org/honorveterans to find out how you can help.
This is Montel Williams. As a U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran, I know the sacrifice that our servicemen and women make for us every single day. If you're a veteran or a military member transitioning out of the service, help is available to you. The U.S. Department of Labor can help you get training, find a good job, or further your education. Contact the Veterans Employment and Training Service at 866-487-2365 or visit dol.gov/vets.